Meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it's 4:02 p.m. on Tuesday, April 9th, 2013. We're in the Butchovich Room 205. Let the record show we have a quorum to do business. Present are Vice Chair Senator Giesel, Senator Egan, and myself, Chairman Machicki. Also like to recognize our committee staff, Christopher Dickrell from Senate Records, and LIO staff Sam Greeley. If you can please turn off your cell phones. Purpose of today's meeting is a hearing on HB 131, an act related to abandoned and derelict vessels, sponsored by Representative Paul Seaton, who's here. And Representative Seaton and Louie, Flora, please join us, introduce yourselves, and present your bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my name is Representative Paul Seaton. I represent District 30, which goes from Seldovia to the Kenai River, and appreciate the committee hearing the bill today. This legislation, House Bill 131, is primarily based off a resolution that was passed by the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators, which is an organization of port directors from around the state. Encompasses most of the municipal harbors. And Mr. Chairman, if you would permit, I can show you what the problem is with a quick slideshow here. This is in Cordova, and this was a 117-foot landing craft that sank, and this is part of the recovery operation. It was 2 years before all the logistics and legal impediments could be contained, and it cost over $1.2 million by the time it was over. Here's some more of the operation with the floats trying to get that out. You can see all the bags that were needed, as well as the booms for containment. Again, this is just, and this is within the harbor, so it was a fairly simple operation that way. Here's another vessel that became derelict, abandoned, but it was actually in Valdez Harbor. And as you notice, in the wintertime, one of the real problems is if you have to do one of these recoveries because there's oil on board or those kinds of things, you have to do it, and it's very difficult to do. Here's another wintertime sinking. We can look here. This is typical in many spots around coves around the Alaska, where people have a boat that has gotten old, that's no longer useful, the motor's dead, and they tie it up, and unfortunately it's left. And so we've got a number of provisions. Here's on the Bethel on the river, and you can see an abandoned barge there. Here's another Half Mile Creek along the river systems of interior Alaska. And you can see this has been kind of converted from something that was a commercial duty at one time, and then became a kind of quasi-houseboat. And of course, if somebody has it as a houseboat, they don't necessarily have the resources to do the corking and do the thing. So pretty soon it becomes a derelict in this way. And here's again on one of the sloughs there in Bethel, you can see a number of abandoned barges that have just gotten old and tired, and people abandon these, and they become not only a problem for eyesores and those kind of things, but I think you probably heard about one of the villages this year that their water supply was contaminated because one of these barges had some fuel in it, and it was contaminating the water supply, which is the river. This is in Kachemak Bay, right across from Homer, and you can see the vessel out there. Actually, there's two vessels that have sunk, and this is looked from the dock in the bay. And here are those two vessels after about $250,000 was spent to pull them up during the winter, get the small amount of fuel, but it was fuel leaking out of those boats. And then after this, they were hauled onto shore for disposal. And part of the problem is that the DNR has the authority to manage the waters, but DOT has the authority for derelict vessels because they had the harbor situation before. Here's just another vessel that is showing that how they can become a navigation hazard. And here is a Alaska aircraft carrier. And so I just, obviously you can see abandoned and derelict vessels.
Representative Seaton, could you go back a slide? I didn't get a chance to see that on the big screen.
Yes, and so, you know, with just one buoy, that could be missed at night. There's not a light on it or something, and people could be have a big-time problem. And, again, I really like the Alaska aircraft carrier. This, like I say, House Bill 131 addresses a very costly and growing problem of abandoned and derelict vessels, and we saw a number of large vessels that have gone out of commercial service, whether they were out of barge service or, you know, with the consolidation of the fisheries in the North Pacific, there'd been a lot of those boats that have been retired from the fisheries. They've been sold to people for liveaboards or whatever. But again, the people that buy those boats don't necessarily have the financial stability and wherewithal to maintain them in proper shape. And so, we've had some of the examples from Cordova and all. The problem is that DOT, because all of the harbors originally were state harbors and DOT and public facilities, received the authority to deal with abandoned and derelict vessels, but DNR controls the lands and the waters. So the responsibility and authority isn't even there. But what we've done over the course of the last 20 years has been to transfer the harbors to the cities. So they're now almost all municipal harbors, but the authority hasn't transferred from DOT to the municipalities. So the municipalities are left in this limbo land of how do we work with this. If you'd like, I could take you through the sectional analysis of the bill, and if that would be satisfactory. Section 1, you know, just maintains that a person may not store a derelict vessel or abandoned vessel in the waters of the state. That's out to the 3-mile limit. A state or municipal port or private property without consent. Section 2 is a hazardous derelict vessel may be removed from the state by a state agency, a municipality, or a peace officer. And Section 3, if a vessel is denied entrance into a harbor, all of the hazardous materials and petroleum products must be removed from the vessel before it's stored for over 14 days in state waters. This is what happened to the Jackloff Bay situation, where those two boats were denied entrance into the Homer Harbor because they were obviously in unsound, unfit condition. They took them across the bay and anchored them out there. If they hadn't had some fuel on board, then it could have waited to spring when the owner could have handled this. But otherwise, what had to happen is the Coast Guard had to come in, do a big operation, get, you know, contract. And so basically it was $250,000 later. Once the vessels are up, now they're in the DOT's hands, but it's anchored on DNR water, so there had to be a memorandum of understanding. They got to the Homer Harbor and were finally removed from the water and placed in dry storage. But DNR still has the liability for those vessels because they placed them on private ownership storage, and so they had to guarantee that they would be responsible for them there. Vessel left unattended for 30 consecutive days on state or private property without consent may be removed and disposed of by either state agency or municipality or peace officer. And outside of organized municipalities, a vessel may be left unattended for more than 30 consecutive days if it is considered an acceptable local practice. We wanted to make sure that people come in with their skin boats or boats on the river systems, they turn them upside down and store them. So we wanted to make sure we didn't have an unintended consequence of making something illegal, which was a common practice for vessels that would be used. And then Section 6, upon taking a vessel into custody, the municipality or state agency must attempt to notify the owners of record 20 days prior to repossession of the vessel. A lot of times the problem is that the numbers are gone, the records are off, and the owner of records just cannot be found at all. And then Section 8 is a public auction for a repossessed vessel is not needed if the appraised value is less than $100. And this would have to be an appraisal by someone that can do appraisals. So if it's less than $100, there can be an advertisement in the paper of general circulation.
Question for you, Representative Seaton. On Section 5.
Yes.
At one point, I mean, we saw the barges in Bethel. At what point is it determined that even if it's customary, obviously an owner's not coming back for the vessel and something has to be done?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, that would be outside of the municipality, so it would be the state's obligation. The problem is the state really hasn't had authority. They had a 14-day limit that you could put, but there was no penalty. And there was no real authority for taking possession and disposing of the abandoned vessels. So that would be a determination by either a peace officer, the state, or the state agency, or if it's in a municipality, the municipality.
So likely if someone doesn't come back for a season, then the vessel's falling into disrepair, it's completely abandoned, and then the state would deal with the vessel at some point.
Mr. Chairman, the state could deal with the vessel at that point in time. The problem has been it's hard to get the authority to mm-hmm. deal with it because it's not specifically laid out in statute.
Okay.
I think we're on Section 9 if there's no further question there. A bill of sale is required for any transfers. So if someone wants to sell one of these vessels at auction or something, there has to be a bill of sale. You can't just say, oh, I'm giving it to John, and he is now responsible for it. Section 10, a vessel is considered derelict if it's left unattended for 24 consecutive hours under the following condition: is sunk, sinking, or posing a threat, or has been moored or left in waters of the state illegally with no current registration, and the owner cannot be determined. So I think that goes to some of your questions. Mr. Chairman, Section 11 is when a municipality or state agency or peace officer takes possession of the derelict, they must publish a notice of the intended disposition, post notice, and serve the registered owners if they're known, or the financiers with notice if there's financial backers. And Section 12, a vessel at a repair business is considered abandoned if the following conditions have been met. The vessel has been towed, or requested repairs have been performed, and then no authorization is given for further services given. The state agency or municipality and owner are notified, and the vessel is not claimed 30 days after the notice. There's been a real problem also, not only in state, but there hasn't been authority well established for what does a repair yard do when somebody brings something in, does it some minor repair, and then leaves the vessel. So this establishes that ability. Section 13, just defines municipal, state agency, vessel, and waters of the state. And Section 14 is a repeal of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Regulation authority to implement the abandoned statute, as the authority is now being transferred to any of the state agencies as well as municipalities. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to try to answer any questions. And there are people to testify on the bill if you'd like.
Questions from the committee? I just have one, just noting the zero fiscal note, which is just the authorization essentially through the bill. If DEC chooses to assist, then that's a different fund altogether. So this remains a zero fiscal note bill.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. This just establishes the legal authority by the different agencies and municipalities to deal with the problem. It doesn't establish or transfer any money to do that.
Okay. If there are no other questions, we're going to open public testimony. We have a few online so far. We'll save Homer for last, recognize a couple of those names, and start with Joy Baker from Nome, City of Nome. If you can please state your name and affiliation, you have 2 minutes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Joy Baker, I'm currently the harbor master for the city and port of Nome. I can make this real brief. I know you got a lot of other folks who want to testify. The city of Nome supports the passage of House Bill 131A regarding the abandoned and derelict vessels. We consider this as a great mechanism or tool, if you will, that extends the same authority onto the municipalities and boroughs that is currently held by the state for in a legal approach to handling these vessels. And Nome has had several in the past. You know, municipalities and boroughs are with limited means of authority and often become the facilitator in the removal and disposal of the majority of these vessels, as they are primarily located in and around our facilities, and we have to work around them. However, the limited authority and the limited access to the funding sources, it can take up to several years to fully dispose of a derelict vessel. So we think this is a great modification to the existing law, and we support these changes proposed in House Bill 131. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions, anyone? Thank you, Ms. Baker. Going to move on to Carl from Juneau. Can you help me with your name, please? Carl is here, present in the room. Thank you, Carl.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it's Carl Yucatel, and I'm the Vice President of the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. And as a matter of introductions, I'm also the Port Director here in Juneau. The Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators, in our Resolution 2012-02, strongly urges support to proposed changes in Chapter 3030 for abandoned and derelict vessels. AAHPA believes delegation of authority under state statute to the local municipalities is a step in the right direction in turning the tide of abandoned and derelict vessels in the state. The condition of vessels operating in the state waters of Alaska is diverse, from modern yachts and well-maintained 80-year-old wooden trawlers to relatively new but decrepit liveaboards to turn-of-the-century abandoned tugboats. The harbor master is consistently looking for tools to help best manage his harbor facility while keeping a vigilant eye on vessels which encroach on tidelands which they may or may not have authority to act upon. The proposed authority is necessary throughout the state, but especially in smaller coastal communities, and I'll also add riverine communities, where legal and enforcement resources are not readily available to deal with the liabilities and hazards of abandoned and derelict vessels. The construction and operations of harbors by the Alaska Department of Transportation shortly after statehood resulted in regulations which empowered only ADOT to effectively deal with troublesome vessels. Expanding the language to include not only Alaska Department of Transportation, but other state agencies and municipalities would appear to be sound legislation. This proposed delegation of authority to the local municipality will help refine the relationship between the state and city borough responsibilities and will enable harbor masters and communities with limited legal resources or limited local ordinances to act with confidence in prosecuting derelict and abandoned vessels. The modifications to Chapter 3030 appear to have in place sufficient authority which encourages the state or municipality to act in a timely manner and before a vessel is in extremis. This is important because of the disposal costs associated with a vessel that is afloat as a small fraction of what it costs once a vessel takes on water, is submerged, or discharges fuel or oil. The Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators, thank you for your consideration on this important issue to the Alaskan coastal and riverine communities.
Thank you very much, Mr. Yucatel. Any questions? We'll move on to Mr. Luxin who I believe is also in the room.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Luxon. I'm the State Course and Harbor Engineer for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, and I'm here to speak in support of passage of HB 131. Let me start off with a little bit of background. AS 3030 was originally created in 1975 under the old Department of Public Works. At that time, the Department of Public Works owned 100 public harbors throughout the state. As a steward of those public harbors, it was important for that department to have an effective means to deal with abandoned and derelict vessels. When the Department of Public Works merged with the Department of Highways to form the present Department of Transportation and Public Facilities in 1977, DOTPUF inherited those responsibilities for those harbors and AS 3030 as a result. And that's where we are today. But since the mid-1980s, the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has been under direction from the legislature and the administration to transfer Alaska's public harbors back into the hands of local government. We've done this underneath AS 3510-120, and today DOT has transferred 76 or 75% of those public harbors back into the hands of local government. While it's good to have Alaska's public harbors under local control, the state has not fully delegated all of its powers to the municipalities that now own, maintain, and manage these harbors. AS 3030 is a good law, but it's too narrow. It needs to be broadened to include the municipalities. The department does not have a funding or personnel for an abandoned and derelict vessel problem, and that's part of the problems that we have today. DOT also has a related problem with other state agencies. When another state agency wants to address the problem of abandoned or derelict, address a problem with an abandoned or derelict boat, that department can only do so if the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities delegates its authority to the other department. This is a cumbersome process. Most recently, during Christmas, that was the case when two boats sank in Jackloff Bay, like the slide showed, the Kuprinoff and the Leading Lady, near Sildovia. The Coast Guard, DNR, and DEC responded to the incident, but neither DNR or DEC were in a position to utilize AS 3030 without DOT's permission. DNR had to wait for DOT's delegation, which came several days after the sunken vessels were raised, the oil and other environmental pollutants had been removed, and the vessels were moved over to Homer for disposal. So in summary, the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities supports proposed changes in HB 131. And I'm open to any questions that the committee may have.
Any questions for Mr. Luxon? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We now go to the Homer LIO, Rachel Lord with Cook Inlet Keeper. Are you there, Rachel?
Hi, yes, I am. Thank you, Senator Machicki. My name is Rachel Lord. I work for Cook Inlet Keeper, and I'm the statewide coordinator for the Alaska Clean Harbors Program. Alaska Clean Harbors is a voluntary statewide program that works with harbor masters on improving resources and tools for waste management, pollution prevention, and customer service activities. House Bill 131 is a strong step to improve the ability of Alaska's municipalities and state agencies to deal effectively with abandoned and derelict vessels along our vast coastline. Many coastal municipalities lack the legal framework within their municipal codes to navigate the seas of maritime law to effectively deal with these vessels. No longer the owner of the majority of Alaska harbors, Department of Transportation doesn't have the staffing or mandate to solely manage abandoned and derelict vessels in harbors and state waters as is specified in our current statutes. We can and should look to states like Washington, where they have spent millions of dollars dealing with abandoned and derelict vessels on their coasts and rivers. The high costs associated with these vessels have catalyzed legislative action to coordinate efforts and provide a structure to address these real environmental and financial concerns. House Bill 131 will help us to begin moving in that direction with common sense and immediately useful changes to outdated state statute. Alaska has enjoyed a relatively young fleet of actively working vessels. This is increasingly not the case as our fleet ages, and as we look ahead into the not-too-distant future, we will likely be drowning, no pun intended, in derelicts. Not only a problem in our municipal harbors, these vessels are increasingly littering our coastline and sharing the waters with our commercial subsistence and recreational fisheries and shellfish beds. Alaska Clean Harbors strongly supports and encourages the passing of House Bill 131, and I thank you all for your time on this important statewide issue.
Thank you, Ms. Lord. I don't see any questions, and that was an extremely efficient use of 2 minutes. And next on the list is Mr. Brian Hawkins, City of Homer Harbor.
Good afternoon. This is Brian Hawkins. I'm the Harbor Master and Port Director for the City of Homer's Port and Harbor. I wanted to bring your attention to City of Homer passed a resolution in support of House Bill 131. That's Resolution 13-026. And a lot of good testimony already this afternoon on this. I see this as a growing problem in Alaska, and this is a step in the right direction. I believe it's a good conversation starter. I think it is also a good communications tool between city harbors and the state DNR and DOT. It helps us recognize the problem and gives some a way forward towards taking action. And most importantly, I think that dealing with derelict vessels, early action is the only tool that really is effective. We have to recognize them, recognize the problem, and deal with it before the owners get out of town. So I'd be willing to take questions, too.
Any questions for Mr. Hawkins? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Hawkins. Is there anyone else in the room or online that would like to testify? Hearing and seeing no one, I'm going to close public testimony and bring it back for questions from the committee or comments. Okay, hearing none, what's the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 131, version 28-LS0519-A from this committee with individual recommendations and attach 0 fiscal units.
Okay, is there any objection? And this is the only committee of reference. We will be personally walking this down. Oh, I'm sorry. Transportation?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know why.
Okay.
Is this in the House side?
That was in the House.
Nothing
okay.
else on our side.
It's the only committee of reference,
there
so we'll go ahead and personally walk this down. This is important for all three of the committee members sitting here with Seward, Homer, and Juneau represented. So with no objection, HB 131 is passed from committee with individual recommendations, and this meeting is adjourned at 4:30. Thank you.